"Right you are, Mr. Dibbler," he said.
"Right." Dibbler turned to Victor. "Why aren't you changed?" he said.
Victor ducked quickly into a tent. A little old lady, shaped like a cottage loaf, helped him into a costume apparently made of sheets inexpertly dyed black. Although given the current state of accommodation in Holywood, they were probably just sheets taken off a bed at random. Mrs. Marietta Cosmopolite, former Ankh Morpork seamstress, until her dreams led her to Holywood, where she found her skill with a needle was highly prized. Once a darner of casual socks, now a knitter of fake chainmail for trolls, and able to run up a pair of harem trousers in a trice. Then she handed him a curved sword.
"Why is it bent?" he said.
"I think it's meant to be, dear," she said doubtfully.
"I thought swords had to be straight," said Victor.
Outside, he could hear Dibbler asking the sky why everyone was so stupid.
"Perhaps they start out straight and go bendy with use," said the old lady, patting him on the hand. "A lot of things do."
She gave him a bright smile.
"If you're all right, dear, I'd better go and help the young lady in case any little dwarfs is peering in at her."
She waddled out of the tent. From the tent next door came a metallic clinking noise and the sound of Ginger's voice raised in complaint. Victor made a few experimental slashes with the sword. Gaspode watched him with his head on one side.
"What are you supposed to be?" he said at last.
"A leader of a pack of desert bandits, apparently," said Victor. "Romantic and dashing."
"Dashing where?"
"Just dashing generally, I guess." "Gaspode, what did you mean when you said it's got Dibbler?"
The dog gnawed at a paw.
"Look at his eyes," he said. "They're even worse than yours."
"Mine? What's wrong with mine?"
Detritus the troll stuck his head through the tent flaps.
"Mr. Dibbler says he wants you now," he said.
"Eyes?" said Victor. "Something about my eyes."
"Woof."
"Mr. Dibbler says,"
Detritus began.
All right, I'm coming."
Victor stepped out of his tent at the same time as Ginger stepped out of hers. He shut his eyes.
"Gosh, I'm sorry," he babbled. "I'll go back and wait for you to get dressed."
"I am dressed."
"Mr. Dibbler says," said Detritus behind him.
"Come on," said Ginger, grabbing his arm. "We mustn't keep everyone waiting."
"But you're...
Victor looked down, which wasn't a help.
"You've got a navel in your diamond," he hazarded.
"I've come to terms with that," said Ginger, flexing her shoulders in an effort to make everything settle. "It's these two saucepan lids that are giving me problems. Makes you realize what those poor girls in the harems must suffer."
"And you don't mind people seeing you like that?" said Victor, amazed.
"Why should I? This is moving pictures. It's not as if it's real. Anyway, you'd be amazed at what girls have to do for a lot less than $10 a day."
"9, said Gaspode, who was still trailing at Victor's heels. "Right. Get around, people," shouted Dibbler through a megaphone. "Sons of the desert over there, please. Where are the slave girls? Right. Handlemen."
"I've never seen so many people in a click," Ginger whispered. "It must be costing more than $100. Victor eyed the sons of the desert. It looked as though Dibbler had dropped in at Borgles and hired the 20 people nearest the door, irrespective of their appropriateness, and had given them each Dibbler's idea of a desert bandit headdress. There were trollish sons of the desert. Rock recognized him and gave him a little wave. Dwarf sons of the desert, and shuffling into the end of the line, a small, hairy, and furiously scratching son in a headdress that reached down to his paws.
"Grab her, become entranced by her beauty, and then throw her over your pommel."
Dibbler's voice intruded into his consciousness. Victor desperately re-ran the half-heard instructions past his mind.
"My what?" he said.
"It's part of your saddle," Ginger hissed.
"Oh."
"And then you ride into the night with all the sons following you and singing rousing desert bandit songs."
"No one'll hear them," said Sol helpfully, "but if they open and shut their mouths, it'll help create a ambience."
"But it isn't the night," said Ginger. "It's broad daylight."
Dibbler stared at her. His mouth opened once or twice.
"Sol!" he shouted.
"We can't film at night, Uncle," said the nephew hurriedly. "The demons wouldn't be able to see. I don't see why we can't put up a card saying night time at the start of the scene."